Larry, I find it not as hard to forgive, but to forget. My mind just doesn't want to forget, the things that happened to me from others. And along with that, what you're talking about with Jeremy, his tools being taken and that type of thing, I think it's appropriate that we guard ourselves against that type of thing happening if we can. Whether we lock our tools up and only open them when we're at our truck or trailer or that type of thing if we can, so that doesn't happen to us. I think that's just good stewardship to do that. Especially if that's happening and continues to happen. Along the same line is you don't want to again give someone that has borrowed money from you. You don't want to give them more money at any time if you've forgiven them for the past. Is that not true?
Yes, you are correct. Again, like I said, forgiveness is not reconciliation. And, that's right. In the case of Jeremy, he has a responsibility to care for his tools. I'll get out. So, and a neighbor who keeps infringing upon every, build a fence, do whatever you have to. For someone that comes against, a brother or sister or someone in your family, try to keep your distance from those people as best you can. So yes, we're not to, God wants us to use wisdom and not continually, because we have a heart of forgiveness, not to continue to be the footstool to be stepped on. God's wisdom will show us what to do. But all I'm saying is, first and foremost, we have to open ourselves up and not withhold, forgiveness. You have said well that I have lent one of my neighbors many years ago. He says he came to me and said, I really need your help. They're going to cancel my car insurance. I need $300 by, next week. Can you help me? I'll pay you back. I've got work coming in, and I'll pay you back within 3 or 4 weeks. Well, so I gave him the $300 because, he was in need. And this is, the trouble is, it's not trouble. It's actually a blessing that God has given me the ability to help people in need. But again, I got to be smart about it. I felt like he was, I felt like the Lord was telling me, go ahead and give it to him. I did. And 3 weeks came. No, I confronted him. Well, I got a job coming. Well, that fell through, blah, blah, blah. So it went on week after week, month after month. And now I don't see him much anymore. But every time I go down to the house, because I still own that house next to him, and he sees me, he won't look at me, and he hurries up and gets out of the way. But I will never, I won't say I will never, but I will not lend him any more money, obviously. And I have written that $300 off as a debt that, lo and behold, God has paid me back. Even more than the $300, God has paid me back. So what I'm saying is, yes, be prudent in our affairs. You are correct that, we want to do everything we can to that we don't suffer loss, because actually, when somebody steals from us, not it does, it harms us, but you know what? It harms them too. So we're doing them a favor by eliminating the circumstances that would cause them to sin. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, I agree with you.
I just found it interesting, Larry, that you used me as that example, because this very thing happens to me at work constantly. Especially with my, I'm a mason foreman, but I have a senior foreman above me, and he's the worst of the worst at this. And I'll be finding my tools laying all over the job site.
Oh
And
my.
I had a talk with him about it and explained to him how it really upsets me, and he acknowledged it, but yet it still happens. So I just had to come to the point where I say, that's just the way he is. And, I always seem to find all my tools. I've never lost one yet. So the Lord puts them in my path that I find them. But I also wanted to talk a little bit about what unforgiveness does to you, because before I went to prison, and back when I was into all my mischief, I had quite a few enemies and a lot of people that, have robbed me or ripped me off or done some sort of something bad to me. And back in those days, I was the type of guy that I was going to pay it back. I was going to come and get my justice. And it really turned me into a just filled with hatred and violence. And I didn't realize all of this until I read the Word of God for myself and understood what it, how all this works. And when I let all that go, my life has changed so dramatically. I mean, I can't even tell you the difference that it's made in my life. So, Word of God is the truth. Amen.
I mean, we didn't get into all of the reasons why why we should forgive. There's many reasons in scripture, and I could have been quoting verses, but the main thing I wanted the point was that just forgive, no matter what, forgive. Be wise, like the brother said. Use wisdom, and lock up your tools. But the main thing is that you let things go. Let it go. Do not harbor unforgiveness. Do not hold on to the offenses that come your way, and they will. Again, Jeremy, I thank you for that. It must have been the Spirit of God signaling you out by this tool business. But all of us, one way or the other, will face offenses. And the best thing you can do is let them go. Give them, you're a servant of the Lord. So everything you do comes by the throne of God. And these offenses that come your way, God allows it, because it's for our good to know how to deal with them and be merciful, be forgiving, and allow God to handle all these things, because he will do it the right way. Like you said, you got yourself in trouble because you wanted to pay back. And that's awful when you try to live your life withholding things and putting forth all of your life's efforts, your life's strength to pay people back for what they've done to you. And all that does is cause you bitterness, stress in your life, and actual loss of your days on earth, because that's what stress, bitterness, and hatred does. Okay? Let it go.
Amen. You know,
until Jeremy spoke up, I thought, well, how do we know that Jeremy's, we're just using him as the guy here. How do we know he's really losing tools? And Jeremy spoke up and said, oh yes, that applies to me.
Wow. Yeah.
What I want to say, however, is if you live long enough, you're going to see the guy that tried to cheat you and cheats everybody else, and that's their lifestyle. You're going to see that it's all going to come back on them. The thing about whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And as I say, if you live long enough, okay, you may not figure that out in the first 20 years of your life, because you're just seeing the beginning of it. But by the time you've lived 80 some years, not only do you see it happen, but you see it happen in the next generation, and you see it happen in another generation, and people begin to sow this thing into their family, into their wife, into their kids, grandkids. And it's a terrible thing that they just keep passing on. We're living in a world, as you pointed out, Larry, where people, world people, we're not talking about believers, world people, their main aim is in life is to get whatever they can, accumulate whatever method they have to use to do it. And you know, I don't know, are there any millionaires or billionaires that were really honest and upright in their ability to come to the place where they are? Tell me, did they do it all above the board, fair and equal? I don't think so. I think yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say probably not, you know, in their pursuit of riches. But you would hope that they would come to a point in their life where they look back on the deeds that they did that were not righteous and say, Lord, forgive me. You know, I will repay back. You know, like the servant, oh God, what was his name that went up in the tree?
Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus, you know, I will pay back. And I think possibly that a lot of them that got that way, you know, they came, maybe they came to know the Lord and they paid back to, you know, different charities, paid back to God's work, hopefully. And you know, I don't know. I would like to feel like that's the case, you know, as you get older, you know, these things. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. You were asking about billionaires.
Well, I don't know any personally, but I just, I know that process of desperately trying to accumulate, and they cut every corner that they possibly can. And you've just got to be as wise as a serpent if you're going to live in that world.
Yeah. Yeah, scripture says that the generation of this world is, you know, the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. And God, you know, there was talking about, you know, we're many people, you know, we're just not wise dealing with the people in the world. And the people in the world know the ways of the world. And we have to depend upon the Lord for our actions and always be seeking after Him on how to deal with people out in the world. And you know, as I say in my personal life, God has just been so good to our family, and has blessed me in my business endeavors. And you know, I have to be mindful of that, because I deal with people that are not as blessed financially as I am. And how do I deal with these people that, you know, that that I have a certain amount of control over in their life by, you know, what I charge them for rent, or, you know, how I deal with them. You know, for instance, my wife's sitting here, but I'm going to tell you, my wife is constantly saying, we are basically real estate poor, okay? In that,
poor.
We own real estate, you know, a lot, you know, quite a bit of real estate, but we don't have a whole lot of disposable money. And my wife keeps saying, well, let's sell one of those houses down there in the city. You know, then we'll have some money, you know. And we're always at each other. And I would say, well, you know, what am I going to do? Am I going to throw these people out? You know, the people that are less fortunate than we are. And, you know, I just refuse to do that, because it's not what God would have me do. So once somebody moves out, that's a different story. But the people that are there now, I've got to show them mercy. And they like it where they are. They take care of the house. They pay the rent. And that's so I'm not going to tell them they've got 2 months to get out because I'm selling the house.
Amen.
Just refuse to do that.
Larry, I have another question.
Hmm.
Go back to Matthew 18, and maybe you can explain this to us. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now, the question is God unable to do this? Is he unable to forgive you if you didn't forgive other people? What's his problem here?
Well, he's able, but there's something wrong with one of his servants that has been forgiven so much, and yet they refuse to do likewise to others. You know, it becomes a place of repentance. You know, Jesus said, remember, when he was on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, my question is, did Father forgive them?
Well, the thing I'm fishing for here, Larry, is that the Father is capable of forgiving.
Right.
But the heart of the man has to be capable of receiving it. And if that man is unable to forgive, then he is incapable, even though God would extend that forgiveness to him, he can't take it. God would give it, but he's never going to get it because of the hardness of his heart. Is that the answer?
Yeah, where I was going with what I said, where is that? In Matthew?
Hold on. Hold on a minute, Larry.
Yeah, yeah.
Kathy has a word she wants to bring us here.
Okay.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Sometime in my walk, the Lord revealed to me that the key in forgiveness is our will. submitting our will to God in prayer, because we, you know, we don't really want to. We don't think it's fair. Well, speaking for myself anyway, and I don't think we're able of ourselves in our own nature to forgive people. So I struggle, then I come to a place in prayer and I submit my will to God in prayer and say, I can't do this, Lord. I submit my will. I don't even want to, but in obedience to his word, in obedience to him, we submit our will. It's the key. And then down the road, he did the work in my heart. All of a sudden it was done. All of a sudden there was nothing there. It was, the forgiveness was done. He did the work. The Holy Spirit did the work in me, as long as I was willing. So I think it's a key that he showed me that I had to use in my walk to, and I'm not done yet, but to be able to let go and forgive and have God. That's the best part. He does work in us. Suddenly you realize it's a done thing in your heart.
Amen. Could you hear that, Larry?
Yeah.
Yeah. In other words, it's the will. Kathy was saying her will had to be broken down so that she was willing to forgive and let that go.
Submit it to God in prayer, and it's the key in forgiveness, our will. He does the work. We don't have to try to do it. We don't have to struggle to make it happen.
Amen. Thank you, Kathy.
You know, Kathy, I think, you know, when it's what Mark always talks about, you know, the four areas of our soul. And I guess, Mark, you at one time have said it's the mind, you know, whatever the mind thinks, that controls you. And I always feel like I don't agree with that first and foremost, it's our will that controls us, that drives us. So you're right. If the will is right, everything else will fall into place. You know, if you have the will to walk and serve God in a righteous manner. So. But what I was getting at when I talked about, did Father forgive them? Jesus asked that they be forgiven. And actually they weren't. You know, God did not forgive everyone just, you know, right then and there. Because God is always gracious and merciful, ready to forgive. But you know, it has to be that you have a repentant heart and come to the Lord in true repentance. You know, the thief on the cross, one of them did that and he was forgiven. The other one did not. And at that particular point was not forgiven. I don't know, you know, later on, you know, I always like to feel like, well, maybe he thought about it more and so forth. But, you know, God will withhold that forgiveness until the people are ready to repent and turn back to him. I think it's the 23rd chapter of Matthew, where Jesus comes before Pilate. And Pilate says, you know, I find no fault in him, you know. And he says, what shall I do with him? And the crowd says, crucify him. Pilate says, then, you know, I wash myself of his blood. And the Jewish people at that point said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children, you know, and that has happened even to this day, that what they did, their blood Jesus, the blood of Jesus is upon them. They pronounce that curse upon themselves. And until God comes and turns them around, that even to this day, they have not been forgiven of that. So, you know, yes, God is willing to forgive, wants to forgive. After all, it says the purpose of Jesus coming in John 3:17 says he did not come to condemn the world, but through him, the world would be saved. So Father, Jesus, you know, their number one purpose is redemption, to save the souls of men. So, and that's, you know, that should be our purpose in life too, is to be a light to the world and to be careful and help to God to redeem people by us showing them the light of the Lord. So that way there, we actually, when we do that, we are putting forth treasures in heaven, you know? So.
I have a question for you. And I'm going to tell you two different little stories involving it. First one is I had a neighbor that called the police on me for something that I didn't do that was wrong. There was nothing wrong with what I did. I shot a gun at my house, and I'm in the country, you know, so, and she called the neighbor on me, or called the police on me. And I was holding a grudge against her. And I know at some point I have to forgive and go on, but do I have to go to her and ask for forgiveness? The second one is I had a situation long time ago that I asked a relative for a job, and every other relative that, I mean, I wasn't in the right place at that time anyway, but he just quickly said, nope, or not he had anything or not, he hired all kinds of other relatives that were doing things that I felt, you know, sort of abandoned or, you know, not good at it. And I did go to him and ask him to forgive me for my thoughts, my feelings on that. He never said I'm sorry or anything, but that's up to him now. You know, the question I have, do I have to go to my neighbor and ask her? Or do I just have to ask the Lord, you know, to forgive her?
My answer to you would be, of course, obviously seek the Spirit of God, but you know, on the surface, I believe you should, you know, because, you know, there's something in the relationship that's not right there. And it's up to us, you know, to take the low place always and restore relationships with people. She's a neighbor of yours. And, you know, she may not know the Lord. And by you going, in a sense, you're humbling yourself before her and showing her, you know, the nature of Christ. So, you know, again, we are to walk in the world. Jesus said, you are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. So everything we do should have, you know, the purpose of leading people to the Lord, showing them the goodness and the graciousness of God. And humbling yourself, you know, is just another means of doing that. You know, what's it say in Micah? Three things are required of thee: to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before the Lord. So if it were me, and I've done this times where I've offended someone, didn't mean to, but you know, again, it's my mouth sometimes goes off, and I say things that maybe are inappropriate or trying to be funny. It doesn't work out, and I offend someone. And I, you know, when I find out about this, I don't, many times I don't even know that. But when it becomes known, I go and make sure that I make it right with that person. I ask for forgiveness. And I remember this one time, this girl, I said, "Will you forgive me?" And she went on to it. And I had to go back three times and kept saying, "Will you forgive me?" You know, and she would talk and she didn't want to forgive me. But I kept after her until she finally said, "Yes, I forgive you." Because I knew that had to be done. So, I think whenever we can, we try to show the goodness and the mercy of God. And sometimes it's just, you know, putting ourselves out there so that we can restore relationships with the neighbor. And who knows, in the future, you know, that the relationship may become key to leading her to the Lord, you know? But Amen. It will never be there if you have a divide between you. So get it right. And like with your brother, you know, when you went to him and, you know, whatever transpired, it reminds me of, again, that verse that says, as much as possible within you, live peacefully with all men. So again, that's how we're to walk in the world, is to everything that's within us should seek for peace between ourselves and our neighbor, our brother, whoever it is. We want to reconcile those relationships.
Yeah, Larry, there's, I think what you said at first is the timing of the Holy Spirit. That neighbor might not want to see you, and you might need to pray for God to change the heart of that neighbor, because you might just be spinning your wheels to try to do something that God has not prepared his or her heart to receive. So I'm saying, put the prayer issue in there too. Rita, did you have something? No.
Hello?
I guess what I'm asking more than anything, is that a requirement of God? And I don't see anywhere that it is.
No, in essence, it's not a requirement. But again, you know, we should always seek the Lord and, you know, find out what do you require, Lord? You know, you may be surprised.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying, Larry. I really understand what you're saying. I just, I didn't know if that's a requirement. And, that's why I went to my relative and asked him to forgive me. Because it was in my heart. It probably wasn't even in his. You know, it was in mine. And I needed to do that to reconcile with him. And I have.
Right.
You know, I've never really felt horrible against him. I just felt it was done against me. But I don't know for sure even. So that's, you know, it could be he just didn't have work or something for me. And that's, you know. And let it go. But I'm glad I went to him still. It relieved my heart.
Amen. Yeah, Rita has a word here.
Well, there were two things that came to me, Howard. First, the second greatest commandment is to love thy neighbor as thyself. And that's one thing that came to me. And the other thing was, this is talking about murder, but we can have murder in our hearts. It says that, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar there rememberest that thy brother or neighbor hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother or neighbor, and then come and offer thy gift. So I think the heart has to be pure to bring the offering of thy gift before the Lord. That was the two thoughts that came to me.
Amen.
Go ahead, Mel.
Okay. Something that came to me is unforgiveness hurts us more than the person that has aught against us or you against them. It hurts us more than them because we're holding it in and it's growing and festering inside of us. And it's taking things away from us that God is trying to mend in our life. And for a while, we will become anxious and angry and to the point of maybe someday we see that person and we just blow up in front of them over the tiniest thing, when in reality, it's the thing within us that was small but grew and grew because we festered it. And that's the way I see unforgiveness, that it hurts us more than them.
You know, we just had a perfect example of this very thing we're talking about today with our neighbor. For some reason, she, in the beginning when we first moved here, she was very friendly to us. I have never had any problem with her. And all of a sudden, she went from bat to bat. And I didn't understand, what the heck did I do to cause her to be this way? And I asked the Lord, I prayed to the Lord, what can I offer her as an olive branch that, you know, I might reach out to her? And he just said, just stand still. You know, nothing. And the other, I was working on the lilac bushes and she came out and she started into me again. And I'm not going to say all that went on, but in that, I remember saying to her, Linda, you can either keep your bitterness and let it destroy you, or you can forgive and receive the blessing and be at peace. You know, it wasn't maybe 2 or 3 days later, she came up to me. I was working outside again, and she came up to me and she wanted to make peace. She wanted to repent. So I didn't have to do anything. God did it. Amen. And now we're friends again, you know, and when we see each other, we have no problem. So just sharing our situation here, that As much as we want to make peace, sometimes we have to wait and let God move on that person a little bit to be able to even receive what you're going to bring. Amen.
And she's not even a believer.
There's a saying that says harboring.
Not yet.
There's a saying that harboring bitterness and resentment is like drinking poison and expecting it to hurt someone else. So, there's several things that I'd like to share. One was in James 2:13. It says, mercy rejoices over judgment. So we need to be people that extend mercy. And the other one is that several years ago, I decided that I wasn't going to hold another man's grudge against whatever. I didn't have a grudge, but I was holding another person's. And the Lord dealt with me and has, you know, continues to deal with me. But that the Lord showed me, owe no man anything but to love. And if we look at that love thy neighbor as thyself thing, it says that The love of God. I just lost it. It fulfills the second commandment. It fulfills, if we love our neighbor, the second commandment gets fulfilled, that the love gets fulfilled, of all, fulfilled the law and the prophets, it says. Love conquers all. That's what we're supposed to be. That's everything God is. God is love. Everything Jesus did, he did because he loved the Father and he honored the Father. He didn't do his own thing. So it all boils down to love. And doesn't mean that it's easy, because we're dealing with our own selves and our own flesh. And I'm telling you, it wants to rise up, and we really have to be vigilant to keep it in check, and to owe no man anything but to love, and not withhold forgiveness. Because I don't know about you, brethren, but I just perish at the thought of thinking that God can't forgive me if I can't forgive someone. He can't forgive me. He's limited himself. And it's about a choice, and it's about our will, and it's about our heart. So what can someone do to me that I already haven't done to Jesus? And he's extended grace unto me. What can I do but do what he has asked to do, and forgive and go on? Because it's hindering me if I don't. It kills me if I don't. It takes my health if I don't. It takes everything if I don't forgive. And I'm not saying it's easy, but I am saying it's the truth. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What does Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Edie. We're not hearing you real good, but go ahead.
Oh, I was going to just look at the thoughts that God will not forgive. That God will not forgive. And I'm wondering, I think that it is more of, we are not in a place where we can receive the forgiveness. It says that his hands, somewhere in Isaiah or so, that his hands are not short, that he cannot reach out to us, and his ears are not short, that he can't hear us, but our iniquities have made a barrier between us and him. That's one scripture. Second scripture is a very popular scripture, John 3:16. And it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. So Jesus Christ gave, God gave Jesus Christ, he gave us all that we need. All the forgiveness is incorporated in the sacrifice of Jesus, of the Lord Yehoshua. But the other side of it is that it's whosoever believeth. So God has given everything. He has given all the forgiveness. So the onus is on us to receive it. So it kind of looks awkward to me to think that God will not forgive, because he has forgiven already. Before we even, it says that the lamb was slain from before the foundation of the earth. Even before we committed the sin, he had forgiven us. He had already made room for us. So the issue is not really, according to what I'm saying, not really that God does not forgive, but that we lose our ability to receive the forgiveness. Praise God. I hope you heard me.
Yes, amen.
Well, you were talking about the love of God, and it just reminded me of the song, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from their sin."